It's Saturday morning and time for the Coaches Show. An in-depth look at high school sports with the coaches and players behind the headlines on News Radio KWOS 950 and 104.5. Here's Missouri Hall of Fame sportscaster Kevin Kelly.
Good morning and welcome to the Coaches Show. The high school basketball season starts next week for the Helias Crusaders. And joining us is Coach Joe Rothweiler. Coach, good morning.
Good morning, Kevin.
All right, you had a jamboree last week, so you had about maybe a week, week and a half before the start of the regular season. First of all, what'd you think of what you did in the jamboree?
We saw some good things, and we saw some definite things that we needed to adjust and work on. And you know, it's in those scrimmages, you know, it's great to have them so you can get out and get a good look at yourself against some different competition than what you get in practice. But you know, we tried some different things and saw some things we liked and saw some definite needs for improvement.
Well, you scrimmaged against three very good basketball teams too, didn't you?
Yeah, we did. Yeah, that was a loaded jamboree. I mean, I don't know. There's many jamborees around the state that had that much talent on display. So it was a good night of basketball for Missouri.
And it's an opportunity to, again, compete against other schools. It doesn't count as far as the one-loss record is concerned. It gives you an opportunity to take that back to the practice floor, too, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does, because, you know, especially early in the season when, you know, we were missing several football guys throughout the first couple weeks of practice. And so, you know, it's kind of hard sometimes to get a scout team to get a good look at what you're – top guys are able to do. So getting them out against some varsity level competition is always a good thing.
Well, you're coming off another very good season on the hardwood floor. I think 19-7 last year.
Yeah, 19-7. We had a great year. You know, we hit a little bump in the road late in the season, and we weren't quite playing our best basketball late, and ran into a Jeff City team that was on fire and district championship, and it was a great game. But unfortunately, we came out on the wrong side of it.
Take a look at those 19 wins and listen to some of these victories. You beat South Iron and they won 25 games. You beat Blair Oaks, they won 25 games. You beat Cape Girardeau Notre Dame, a 20-win season for them. And you beat Republic, who won 22 games last year.
Yeah, there was some, as usual, our schedule is loaded. And you know, we didn't quite know what to expect coming into last season. We had lost a ton from that Final Four team. We knew we had some pieces, and you know, they came together and gelled, and we saw some tremendous improvement from one season to the next between a couple players, and it led to what made a really good regular season.
What'd you do with the basketball team during the off season?
Just our typical stuff. You know, Misha allows us to do a little bit more in the fall now, so we got in with the guys that didn't play football and were able to work on some skill stuff. It's not like your regular practice, but at least you can get in there and be a little bit more hands on. So, which was traveled around and played a bunch of good competition and saw some really good things throughout the summer as well.
Taking a look at numbers from last year, I want to get your thoughts on these. I think overall you averaged 65.6 points per ball game, gave up 56.5 points per ball game. First of all, on the offensive end, scoring almost 66 points a ball game.
Yeah, you know, we coming into the year, we like I said, we lost Marcus Anthony, who averaged close to 20 a game for us on that Final Four team, and we knew we had some holes to fill, and you know, a couple guys really worked hard in offseason, Desmond White especially. Nobody saw him making the strides that he made between his freshman and sophomore year, and for him to make those improvements really helped us out on the offensive end.
You know, defensively giving up about 56 points a ball game, I know talking to coaches, they always want that number lower. If it was 40, they'd want 35.
Right. You know, we had some stretches where we played outstanding defense, and you know, against the schedule that we play, you got to be somewhat satisfied with 55 points a game. So, you know, of course you want it to be a little bit lower, but like you say, Kim, always going to want it to be a little bit lower than what it is.
Will this be a typical basketball team at Helias, get out and go and like to shoot the three?
Yeah, we're definitely going to have to shoot the three on most nights just with the lack of size that we have. And we're still trying to figure out the, you know, we got two really good guards back from a good team last year, and a lot of people know about them, and they should be one of the better 1-2 punches around as far as from the guard position especially. And we got some guys that don't have varsity experience, but you know, they work hard. They were key contributors on our JV team a year ago, and they're ready. They're ready. They're ready to step in, and we just got to see what they can do on the varsity level.
Yeah, you take a look at your varsity roster, and there's not a lot of seniors on this basketball team, are there?
No, we just have three of them. So, one of them with varsity experience, but the other two are ready to step in and play a key role for us as well with Scott Heisog and Nick Heisman.
You talked about him just a second ago. Let's talk about your backcourt for just a moment. Malcolm Davis comes in averaging almost 17 points a ball game last year for you. What does he bring to the table for you?
I mean, he brings a lot. The stats don't even do him justice. His leadership ability in practice, the way he brings guys along with him, he's really improved on the defensive end. I think college coaches will like to see that when they come check him out this season. But Malcolm's a kid that's been in the program since his freshman year. I coached him in our Knights program when he was in fifth grade, so he's been around forever. Can't believe he's a senior. Going to have an outstanding year.
In the backcourt with him, Desmond White averaged over 20 points a game for you last year. He is back for his junior season. What does he bring to the table for you?
He brings a lot. I mean, he can flat out fill it up. He can shoot it from deep. He's gotten stronger. He's one of the things that would maybe hurt him at times last time is teams would get physical and try to rough him up a little bit. And so he really focused on the weight room this summer, and he's added pounds, added muscle, and now he can take a little bit more of a beating when he goes to the basket. And he's going to be really tough to handle for a lot of teams this season.
Also back is Trey Bexton, and I think one of the things that impressed me most about him last year was his position in the lane and his ability to take a charge.
Yeah. He took like 20 of them last year, so I mean, he's already took 60 of them in practice. So yeah. We just got him back about a week ago because he had an elbow injury in football, and he finished out his, the season in football, but it was kind of messing with him basketball wise. So we let him rest for a good week or so when he got back to football. But he's ready to go now, and he just brings a whole another level of toughness to us, and something we really need, especially when we're going to be undersized most nights. His strength and his ability to his basketball IQ on the defensive end especially really goes a long way in leading us defensively.
Well, you play a very good schedule, and it'll start next week, I think Thursday, Friday, and Saturday down in Springfield.
Yeah, yep, we're back. That tournament got canceled last year because of COVID. We're glad to be back in it. We've been going to it several years. Competition's always really good. They take really, really good care of you down at the Arvis Classic, too, and we open up with Rogers Heritage, which is a team we've never played before. I believe it's a newer school down there. But from what I'm seeing, I think it'll be a good game.
Back to back to back, the first of the season for you. Is that any big deal?
No, we tried to do it last year. We tried to get a game earlier, right before Thanksgiving, and you saw how that went with football still playing. We got a lot of multi-sport athletes, so for us to schedule a game too early is always a big risk with the great tradition that our football program has. And so we decided to push it back again, and we've done this several years in the past, and it'll be ready.
Mid-December, you'll head to Columbia for the Norm Stewart Classic, and then toward the end of the month, you'll go to Kansas City. Tell me a little bit about the 12 Courts of Christmas.
It's new, and I don't know much about it yet, but I know it's going to be a lot of basketball, sounds like, for about 12 straight days or something like that. We play a team out of Nebraska, which is going to be cool because it's a team we're not familiar with, but it's I think they have a really good guard, and I think that's kind of the reason they match up with them to go against our guards, and it'll be fun. There's a lot of good teams supposed to be traveling to that event.
And we talked about how good your schedule is, but I know there's two that's probably circled as far as people are concerned in taking a look at your entire schedule, and that would be January the 6th when you take on Father Tolton, and then on January the 18th, it'll be a home game against the Jefferson City Jays.
Yeah, those are always two big ones. Father Tolton last year was buzzer beater, two games, two buzzer beaters. So, that game's always fun. They're loaded this year. It's going to be a real a real challenge for us in that game, especially with the lack of size that we have and the enormous amount of size that they have. But it'll be a fun game. We're definitely looking forward to it. And then, yeah, the Jays game is always it's always a big one. It's even bigger now. So, you know, with Coach Buff going over there and me and his history with me and him being great friends growing up and me coaching underneath them for several years, it's going to be a fun one.
Before we let you go, I want to talk just a minute. I know there's a lot of basketball that still has to be played before we get to districts, but I wanted to get your thoughts on it. In Class 5, District 7 will have 8 teams in it. You're in it with Jefferson City, Capital City, and then there will be 5 teams from the western side of the state in Grandview, Hogan Prep, Raytown South, Ruskin, and Warrensburg, 8 teams in the district. What I wanted to talk to you about is in Classes 5 and 6, there are only 8 districts, so there's no sectional round. Once you come out of district play, you go straight to the quarterfinals. Do you like that?
I don't know yet. I was kind of surprised to see that the way it was set up this year, too, and I had not heard of that before the districts were announced. So it'll be kind of interesting to see how they schedule it out. You know, when you get to that time of year, the only concern I would have is you want to play games. You don't need as many practices anymore, and hopefully it won't be spread out to where you're only playing one game a week. But I don't know. We'll have to see how that ends up.
Coach, appreciate your time this morning. Good luck next week down in Springfield as you open up the basketball season.
Thanks, Kevin.
Elias Crusaders head basketball coach Joe Rothweiler. We're back with more after the break. Today at Faroe Field in Columbia, it's the Class 6 State Football Championship as St. Louis CBC 12-1 will meet Liberty North. Liberty North is 11-1. A special look back at the 1991 State Championship football game at Faroe Field when we return. It's the Coach's Show on KWOS.
Hey, professional automotive customers, thank you. Professional Automotive Service in Jefferson City gets all sentimental and misty this time of year when they think of all the great customers they've had. They appreciate the trust you have in them to take care of your vehicle. After all, it's not just their name, it's who they are. Professionals taking care of your automotive repair and service. So a great big season's greetings and happy holidays from the entire staff at Professional Automotive Service on Shot Hill Woods Drive in Jefferson City and also Hillside Automotive in O'Fallon. Have a great holiday and hope to see you in 2022.
Find your story at Downtown Book and Toy on High Street in Jefferson City. Now under new ownership with the same expertise, same quality, but with a wider selection of what you like. Shop for the holidays with a refreshed selection of toys and games, along with the latest books and magazines. Stop in for a special book signing by authors Michelle Brooks and Michael Downey on Small Business Saturday, November 27th. Find your story at Downtown Book and Toy on High Street in Jefferson City. Follow them on Facebook.
If you've got a bug or you got a problem, you call Steve. That's the end of the problem.
This is Coach Norm Stewart, so you should probably listen to what he has to say about Steve's pest control.
I think when you look at the population, most of us fall into a category. There's a few people that are very gifted in certain areas, and there are people that are gifted, but they are better at perseverance. Steve is one of those people. He's gifted, but he also perseveres, and that's why he's been so successful. And if you call him and you're dealing with him, you know everything's going to be on the up and up. Yeah, Steve can take care of everything from mice to spiders and wasps. And you know what? Again, this year, we're going to have to take care of the Jayhawks. So that's the one you better watch out for.
This is Steve with Steve's Pest Control. We're going to solve your pest problem. I guarantee it.
Now you got a friend in the pest control business, Steve's Pest Control.
The KWOS Coaches Show.
On Thanksgiving weekend 30 years ago, the Jefferson City Jays picked up their 7th state football title. The Jays started off the season with 2 victories. Then Jefferson City suffered back-to-back losses to East St. Louis and Hazelwood Central. Next up for the Jays and Coach Pete Atkins was a game against arch rival Columbia Hickman. The Jays beat the Cupies 17-16, and Coach says that helped turn their season around.
Pretty well struggling there early on, and you know, the kids came back, and I think we had a bunch of, you know, early season injuries too on that first 4 weeks, and so finally got it all together. And there was any time we beat Columbia back in those days, that was a tremendous, you know, win for us.
That Hickman win was one of 8 in a row for the Jefferson City Jays in 1991. They would head to the state title game against SLU after beating the top-ranked Blue Springs Wildcats in the state semifinals. SLU entered the game with a mark of 12-1 and had a passing attack that featured quarterback Steve Schnurr, wide receiver Jason Dulick, and tight end Scott Pfeiffer. The Jays would get an opening kickoff return by Larry Jefferson to the Jefferson City 47-yard line. That drive would stall deep in SLU territory at the 19. The Junior Billikens then proceeded to go from their own 19 to the J 29, only to be turned away. Scoreless after the first quarter, SLU got on the board with less than a minute to play in the first half.
Dulick split wide to the near side, and Schnurr drops back to pass. Has time, looks over, throws the middle of the field, pass complete to Dulick. He's got running room, 40, 35, 30, 20, 10, 5, touchdown. Jason Dulick on a crossing pattern to the middle of the field, got open, and he goes the distance at 66-yard touchdown pass play.
Trailing 7-0 at the half, Jefferson City's rushing attack of Todd Eilers, Eric Galbraith, Larry Jefferson, and quarterback Steve Lawhead was held to just 43 yards. Still down 7-0 after three quarters of play, the Jays would start a drive from their own 26. 13 plays, all on the ground, 9 of those carries from Eric Galbraith, and the Jays get on the board with 7 minutes left to go in the ball game.
This is the drive right here. Clock says 7:14 left to go in the ball game. 7-0 SLU. Inside the 5, the Jays have it second and goal. Lawhead pitches it to Eilers. Eilers to the near sideline, and he's in for the score for 5 yards out. Todd Eilers with the pitch from Steve Lawhead just got in as he was going out of bounds. Doe for the marker got in for the score with 7:03 left to go in the ball game.
Tied at 7 midway through the fourth quarter, SLU takes the kickoff and moves down the field. But a 34-yard field goal attempt is no good with 2:05 left to go in the football game. The Jays take over on their own 20-yard line. Kevin Kelly and Phil Hampton with the call.
All right, here come the Jays to the line of scrimmage with 2:05 left to go, first and 10 from the 20. Handoff goes to Galbraith, has a hole, 25, 30, still on his feet, 35, 37-yard line. Brought down by Jason Dulick, who might have saved the touchdown. And what a stiff arm by Eric Galbraith in order to continue his run as Dulick met him at about the 30-yard line where that would have been the first down. And then Galbraith just stiff-armed him on the helmet and got the close to 7 more yards as he got just out past the 36-yard line. But what a great run by Eric Galbraith. 1:49 left to go in the ball game. Jays 7, SLU 7. Jays first and 10 at their own 36-yard line. Out of the wishbone. Unbalanced line to the left side. They break the bone. Eilers goes in motion. Lawhead on the quarterback keeper. Looks for running room. Gets up to the 40. He'll be dropped there by Corrigan and also Jason Wagner on the play. Pick up a 4. Minute 9 left to go in the ball game from the 40-yard line. Lawhead drops back to pass. Looks, 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 throws. Passes over the head of the intended receiver. That is Todd Eilers at the 45-yard line. A SLU, it'll be a third down situation. Coverage by the linebacker Gary Wynn. And it'll be 3rd and 7 from the Jefferson City 40-yard line with 1:02 left to go in the ballgame. 7-7 tie between Jefferson City and the Junior Billikens from St. Louis University High.
120 yards for Galbraith on the contest, Kevin. He has done an outstanding job, especially here in the second half, to really help get the Jays going offensively so they could get down and make their score by Todd Eilers to tie this thing up.
Goldhammer split out wide to the far side. McDowell to the near side. Third down for the Jays. Rolling out to his left, planning is Lawhead. Steps up in the pocket, looks for running room. Has it to the 45, to midfield. Runs out of bounds at the SLU 49-yard line.
Now, if that wasn't using your head, as Lawhead saw that there was nobody open, he moved up straight up in the middle of the pocket, broke out to the right side. In fact, he left a couple of Bills standing there thinking that he had thrown the ball, ran right by them. Kept his head, ran out of bounds, number one, to stop the clock with 54 seconds and yet make a big gain so they can continue the drive at the 49-yard line. You have to keep in mind that the longest field goal attempt this year, or I should say the longest field goal made by Lawhead, 32 yards. He's 2 for 2 as far as the two attempts leading up to this contest, so they've not attempted only the 2 field goals this year. and have made both of them with the longest at 32, so they're definitely going to have to get some more real estate before you can even consider the field goal opportunity.
Lone running back is Eric Galbraith. Rolling out to the left is Steve Lawhead. Throws and it's batted at the line of scrimmage. The 6'5" Scott Pfeiffer got a hand up. Pass was intended on the far side, I believe, for Todd Eilers. Eilers over there as well as Burbank, the tight end for the Jays. Pass incomplete. And it brings a second down and 10 from the 49 of Slough with 50 seconds left to go in the ballgame.
The Pfeiffer really hasn't done that much offensively in this contest for St. Louis University High, but defensively, that's where he's made his mark. We were kind of wondering, as far as the 2 6'5" receivers, Dulick's really been the workhorse for the junior Bills, but Pfeiffer on the defensive end of the ball has done an outstanding job on the line, and that time possibly saved a long gainer by the attempted pass by Lawhead.
Second and 10, Lawhead back to pass again for the Jays. Looks in the middle of the field, throws, passes, caught by Travis Goldham at the 20, to the 15, to the 13-yard line. First and 10 for the Jays, 40 seconds left to go to the ballgame. To the wide receiver, Travis Goldhammer, Lawhead with a completion. 36 yards on that pass play.
First and 10 for the Jays, Larry Jefferson with a call to the 5. Down inside the 5, he's blocked out at the 4-yard line. 16 seconds left to go to the ballgame. Jays with one timeout remaining, and they take it right here. 13 seconds left to go. Jefferson with the call gets it down to the 4-yard line. Oh, 13 seconds left to go in the ballgame, and Jefferson picks up 9. It'll be 2nd and 1 from the 4 of Slough.
Jay's going to try a field goal right here.
Holding it will be Travis Goldhammer. Steve Lawhead will try it. It'll be a 20-yard field goal attempt with 13 seconds left. Far hash mark is where it'll be lined up. Ball down, the kick is up, high, long, and it is good! It is good by Steve Lawhead! A 20-yard field goal with 10 seconds left to go in the ballgame. Goldhammer put the ball down, Lawhead kicks it through, he put it right through. 10 points in the fourth quarter, and the Jays lead 10-7 with 10 seconds left to go. A 20-yard field goal by Steve Lawhead.
Jays quarterback Steve Lawhead.
Honestly, what I was thinking is if I missed it, we were going to win it in overtime. But after the game, I found out that there wasn't any overtime. So I had total confidence that I was going to make the field goal, and it just worked out that it went right through the uprights, and after that, we were state champions. What was crazy about that is the last thing we did in practice the day before was worked on field goals, and we set it up, and it was about the same angle, the same, maybe a little further distance wise, but the same angle from the hash, and that's the last thing we did in practice the day before.
Coach Pete Atkins says Lawhead had nerves of steel, and there was no doubt in his mind that he'd make the field goal.
You know, he was a real gamer, a hard-nosed kid, you know, played hurt quite a bit of the season with a bad ankle, but there was no doubt in my mind that, you know, he would be accurate on his kick, and he was. So I think somebody said, well, you should have played for a tie. I don't think we don't do that. And so it was, you know, a big kick for Steve, and one that that particular group of young men will never forget. Certain games, Kevin, stick in your mind, you know, more, I guess, than other games, but certainly, you know, that way that season went, as you mentioned early on, and they just came on, and they just, in their minds, they thought they were unbeatable, and we coached them hard and worked them hard, and they were just, you know, a great bunch of young men.
For quarterback Steve Lawhead, the 1991 football season was a special year, and one that he will remember forever.
You know, I've got, from that season, I've got a tremendous amount of friendships that are still strong because of that football team. The coaching staff that we had, that Coach Atkins had, was second to none. You know, it was just a great environment to be in, and I'm just forever grateful to Coach Atkins and his staff to have been a part of Jay football.
The Jays with 10 points here in the fourth quarter, lead 10-7 with 7 seconds left to go in the ball game.
Steve Schnur, the quarterback, out of the shotgun. Again, three wide receivers to the right side, two to the left side. Schnur back to pass, being flushed out of the pocket, rolls to the left. Rolls still has the ball, throws the home run ball in the middle of the field, and it's almost intercepted by Greg Cumming. Ball falls incomplete. Scoreboard reads no time left, and the Jays have won a seventh state title.
Under an overcast sky in late November, the 1991 Jefferson City Jays football team placed their names in Jays football history. Winners of their final nine games of the season, they walked off Faurot Field as state champions.
As a business owner, your commercial vehicles are a lot like your home. People will make judgments about you based on what condition you keep it in. A tidy and well-maintained home lets others know you take pride in your home and care about your things. Likewise, a company vehicle that looks like new, shiny, tidy, and blemish-free gives the impression of pride, responsibility, and success. You can probably guess what impression people get from dirty, dented, and dull. This is Gary with Extreme Body and Paint. No matter the type or the size of your commercial vehicles, from pickup trucks to dump trucks, RVs, and school buses, we can put the shine back in them while still making the process of dealing with insurance as stress-free as possible. Nobody makes your vehicles shine like new better than Extreme Body and Paint. Come check out our newly expanded commercial facility. We are now located under one roof off Highway 50 on Lomo Drive in Jefferson City, or online at extremebodyandpaint.com.
We make it shine like new. Extreme Body and Paint.
Looking for the perfect gift? Get him a shirt from Untuck It. Now you can get up to 50% off with the Black Friday sale happening right now at Untuck It. Untuck It shirts are designed to be worn untucked. They're the easiest way to keep them looking sharp and feeling comfortable. You can't go wrong with our super soft flannels and wrinkle-free shirts, so don't miss it. Up to 50% off for a limited time only. Find the perfect gift for every guy in your list at untuckit.com or 80-plus Untuck It stores. Untuck It. Shirts designed to be worn untucked.
Hey parents, here's some good news for America's future. Kids ages 5 to 11 are now eligible for a COVID vaccine. That means all those future CEOs and artists, world-class chefs and sports stars, the engineers and the innovators are eligible for a vaccine that can help protect their future. And it's specifically formulated just for them. Find vaccines near you at vaccines.gov. Paid for by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
Here today with Kevin Schwartzer, a mortgage loan officer from Hawthorne Bank. Kevin, lots of people may be thinking about buying a new home or refinancing their current one. Why don't you tell us how you can help with that at Hawthorne Bank?
When buying a house, it's scary. You know, especially for young people, first-time homebuyers. It's a lengthy process, or it can be. We pride ourselves on customer service and taking that initiative to just be by your side through the whole process from beginning to end and even afterwards.
That was Kevin Schwartzer of Hawthorne Bank. NMLS number 450139. Member FDIC and Equal Housing Lender. The Helias Foundation is continuing the legacy. One gift, one goal annual fund drive. All funds raised will strengthen the foundation's endowment and have a direct and yearly impact on the success and vitality of Helias' school. Please help Helias Catholic High School live out its mission and vision by supporting the Continue the Legacy One Gift, One Goal Fund Drive. One campaign, two components, one goal. Give Helias. So please, make your tax-deductible contribution today and be sure to find out more at HeliasFoundation.org.
The KWOS Coaches Show.
Welcome back. We are joined now by Helias Lady Crusaders head basketball coach Garrett Wiggins. And coach, first of all, congratulations on a victory Tuesday as you open up the season.
Yeah, thank you. It was a lot of fun and a good way to start the season off right.
What's an impressive victory against a good Lady Falcons basketball team from Blair Oaks. You won 57-40.
Yeah, we did. You know, we played well, and you know, like I said, starting the season off with a win, especially against a quality team like Blair Oaks, is always a good thing.
You know, you played very good defense, and that's a theme that you had last year as well. But, you know, you take a look at that ball game, and, you know, it's the first game of the season. They had already played a game, and, you know, this first game in the first quarter, you know, you never really know what's going to happen, and you started out great, scoring 12 of the first 13 points of the contest.
Right, you know, you never really know how the first game's going to go, and you're kind of nervous on whether you prepared your team or not. And like you said, you know, we didn't even get to compete in the Jamboree, and Blair Oaks had just gotten a really nice win against Camden the night before. So the nerves were a little high, but, you know, after that 12-0 run, they kind of settled down, and the girls, you know, performed like they should have.
Got a good effort from Claire Manns in the basketball game, didn't you?
Yeah, we sure did. I tell you what, she came out ready to go and was flying all over the place and put the ball in the hole and played really, really good defense, just like, you know, we knew she could, and she definitely propelled this team to a victory, yes, for sure.
Let's step back for just a moment. 16-6 a year ago, you had a very good season, didn't you?
Yeah, we did. You know, it didn't end the way we wanted it to, you know, like a lot of teams happens around the state, but you know, we did have a very good season. You know, all six of our losses came to ranked opponents in their respective classes. So, you know, that's just something that's the next step we need to take as a program. You know, we kind of laid the foundation of where we want to go. You know, we're going to have to pick up quality wins like a state ranked team in even our class or a different class to really, you know, solidify this program and get to where we want to go.
Yeah, you started the season last year, I believe, 7-0, and you won 10 of your first 11 basketball games.
Yeah, we did. You know, we picked up an early tournament win, too, in Sullivan, the People's Bank Sullivan Holiday Tournament, and, you know, rattled off a few wins in a row, and I think everybody was feeling pretty good. And, you know, you run into a Jeff City team who's stacked last year and, you know, coached really well and had good athletes, so. You know, that, like I said, that's just something we're going to have to do better at scouting and do better at performing in those types of games.
Last year was your first year as head basketball coach. What did you take away from the season?
I tell you what, it was a blast. You know, you kind of know with coaching in high school sports for several years that what to expect, really, you know, with paperwork and you know, with communication with parents and administration and stuff, but I wouldn't change it for the world. I had a blast, and I'm really looking forward to getting into this season, too.
Is the second year easier than the first year?
I tell you, I don't know. I guess. you know, with being the first-year head coach, yeah, last year during a pandemic, I don't know. I'm not really sure. So
yeah,
it was weird last year. Scheduling wise, because you felt like you had a fluid schedule where stuff was changing all the time, and it was almost kind of fun, to be honest with you, just because you never knew where you were headed.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I just enjoy coaching and I enjoy these girls, and I'm guessing every year is going to be, you know, unique and fun.
But everybody is more familiar with the program. Players more familiar with your coaching style. You're more familiar with your players.
Of course, yeah. I mean, they kind of know, you know, the first 30 to 45 minutes of practice, the girls probably don't even need me. They know what I expect and how things are supposed to get done. And you know, especially in the games, you know, I can kind of count on them to, you know, to really know where I'm trying to go and what my philosophy is. So, you know, they've done a good job adapting to me, and I think I've done a pretty good job adapting.
Tell us a little bit about your basketball team.
Yeah, I tell you, we're not very big. We do have Adeline Kelly, who's, you know, 6'1" sophomore, who can stretch the floor a little bit, shoot outside, score inside. And then Micah Edwards is our returning point guard, who was a sophomore last year. She's leading the team right now. And I tell you what, there's a lot of times where you can definitely tell that she's the quickest girl on the floor. You know, she's starting to get some college looks. And JC Boucher's another captain on the team along with Micah. You know, she kind of leads the team by example. And, you know, I was telling Tom Rackers the other day, like, this girl takes charges in practice, which you don't see very often. You know, usually you save those for the games, but, you know, she works on stuff and helps this team out. And, we're very young. You know, Ava Morris, a sophomore, she started for us against Blair Oaks, and I think she surprised a lot of people about how she can play athletically and her length and rebound and score. So I like this team's, you know, youth. I think that's going to help us in the long run. And a lot of these girls played last year. You know, like you said, with Claire Manns and Ada and Ava Morris. And, you know, I've got a few sophomores back now that are not sophomores, a senior, Gabrielle Bax, who hasn't played since her freshman year, which – it's really nice to get her back out on the hardwood. I know she committed to St. Louis Community College, but I think we're a real well-rounded team with a lot of speed, not a whole lot of size.
You have a number of freshmen in the program, and taking a look at the rosters up and down the line, looks like you have quite a few players.
Yeah, we do. We have several freshmen that are playing. They're going to play JV and freshmen. You know, they're going to get a lot of games in, a lot of quarters, and I just wanted to get them the experience. I don't want necessarily eight people sitting on the bench and having to rotate girls in. I want them to play. So we do a lot of conditioning to get them ready for that, especially later in the season. I think they'll be conditioned where they can play multiple games in a day if they had to. But I want these girls to get experience early, and then away, when they get into their junior, senior year, it's nothing new for them, and they've got that experience, and they're ready to go.
Taking a look at your schedule, you play a lot of games in the month of December, don't you?
Yeah, we sure do. We have a tournament coming up on Monday at Fatima, and then, we're going to turn right around and play a tournament in Sullivan, and then the holiday tournament as well, and all before, I guess, right during the heart of Christmas break. So, I think it's important to get games in and not have long layoffs. Some girls kind of get a little bored, and to be honest, I get bored too. We don't want to practice every day. I think we can get better and learn a lot from playing games. So that's kind of the philosophy we're taking with the December schedule.
We talked to Crusaders head basketball coach Joe Rothweiler, and you also were playing in the 12 courts of Christmas in Kansas City, aren't you?
Yeah, we sure are. We're playing Staley High School out of Kansas City, and that's going to be a tough test. And I think it's just going to be fun just to, get out of town for a little bit and play in a different arena that's a little bigger than what we're used to. I think that's should be really fun for both the girls and the boys squads.
You're in Class 4 this year. Blair Oaks, Boonville, Fatima, Fulton, Helias, and Southern Boone. Your thoughts?
I tell you what, that's going to be a tough district. Just looking at it from the outside in, the nice thing is we're going to get to see every single one of those teams besides Fulton in the regular season. So, I think it's important for us to do well in the regular season to get the highest seed we possibly can. But it is going to be tough. All of those teams are extremely well coached, and they have extremely, talented teams that, you could literally pick one out of a hat and say, yeah, I can see them winning that district. So I will tell you the nice thing is that we do not have to drive to West Plains. So I think it's that Blair Oaks that makes it pretty nice. So we'll take that.
All right, next week you're in the Comet Classic, as you mentioned just a few moments ago, in Westphalia. You are the number one seed. You open up against Sedalia Smith-Cotton on Monday.
Yeah, we do. It's nice to get back on the court. We're going to have practice here in about, half an hour and get ready for Monday and hopefully make a run. And the goal is to win this Comet Classic Championship and roll right into the next week. So,
Coach, thanks for the visit this morning. Good luck next week.
I appreciate it. Thank you, sir.
Helias Lady Crusaders head basketball coach Garrett Wiggins. Again, they're the number one seed in the Comet Classic at Fatima in Westphalia. They will open up Monday at 4 o'clock. The opponent is Sedalia Smith-Cotton, coming off a victory to open up the season against Blair Oaks. They beat the Lady Falcons by a score of 57-40. Back with more after the break. It's the Coach's Show on KWOS.
Vaughn Pools believes in crystal clear water. When it comes to caring for your spa, trust in the wide range of proven Spa Guard products. With an array of products designed to create the most economical, efficient, and convenient systems available, the difference is clear. That's what makes Vaughn Pools your local Spa Guard dealer, the true spa care specialist in your neighborhood. They're always willing and able to assist at a moment's notice, and that's the hallmark of a true Spa Guard specialist. See the difference at your local Vaughn Pools and Spas today.
When you need to be sure, Capital Diesel.
Be sure to ask Capital Diesel for Stanadyne fuel additive to be sure your engine starts right up in cold weather. Stanadyne protects your fuel injection system against gelling, which will stop up your fuel filter. With Stanadyne, your engine will have more power with lower emissions and will get better fuel mileage. With 120 years of experience, you can be sure Capital Diesel will get the job done so you can get your job done.
Take Heart Radio. Here's Dr. Monty Schenkel.
Kent Hughes wrote, he said, imagine with me for a moment the aged Apostle Paul with gray hair and a thinning gray mane falling askew around his weathered face. The bow of his legs has increased because of his repeated marches across the Roman Empire. Scar tissue covers his torso as he has five times received 39 stripes. He is bent by gravity, not only of time, but of the cosmic burdens of apostleship. Who is weak and I do not feel weak? Who is led into sin and I do not inwardly burn? 2 Corinthians 11:29. With all that, he says to the church at Ephesus, pray for me. His prayer request is not for creature comforts. He didn't write to any of his disciples and say, oh, by the way, bring me my pillow. Got to have it. His cell was not air-conditioned, it was prayer-conditioned.
To hear more messages from Take Heart Radio, visit us online at concordjc.org.
The KWOS Coaches Show.
Joining us now is Blair Oaks Falcons head basketball coach Ryan Fick. Coach, good morning.
Good morning, Kevin. How are you doing?
Is this the 16th year for Coach Fick at Blair Oaks?
It is.
Wow.
16 years.
Goes by fast, doesn't it?
Yeah, good. It flies by, and it's not getting any slower, that's for sure.
You know, and it seems like only yesterday we were down in Springfield looking at a state semifinal basketball game between you and Vashon.
Yeah, it's crazy how, you know, the off season just, you know, keeps getting faster, and, you know, with as much as, you know, we can do in the summer with our kids now, you know, there's not a whole lot of time where we're away from our kids with the contact that we can have in the summer, and now we can have even more contact with them in the preseason. So it just goes by really fast.
But it is important to step away for a little bit, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. You know, you got to recharge the batteries a little bit and, you know, kind of rejuvenate. And it doesn't take too long, but it is good to step away.
Boy, a great year for you last year, 25-5.
Yeah, it was a fun year. You know, we got back to the Final Four and, you know, ran into a buzzsaw in Vashon, but, you know, it was a great experience for our kids, and, you know, we got a lot of guys back from that team that are hungry to make a run this year.
You know, you take a look at last year, and I think twice you had 9-game winning streaks in the season.
Yeah, you know, and that's, you know, special in the fact that, you know, we like to pride ourselves. We feel like we play a pretty tough schedule, and to be able to reel off a couple winning streaks like that, you know, said something about our guys and their competitiveness and their skill. So, you know, I think we've done that again this year with our schedule, probably even a little tougher than last year. COVID kind of put a damper on our schedule last year. There, you know, we lost several games due to COVID, you know, and everybody was in the same boat scrambling to try to fill their schedule, you know, on short notice. So we felt good about the schedule we played, but we've toughened it up even a little more this year.
There's a statistic that I want to tell our listeners about because I think it tells a lot about the success of the program at Blair Oaks. At least 20 wins, 12 years since 2010. Only season, not at least 20 wins, 19 in 2016. You won 28 games in 2020. That's an outstanding record.
Yeah, I'll go back to the kids. And it starts at the youth programs. We've got tremendous youth programs and all of our sports here at Blair Oaks, and the kids start young and they look up to these guys and they can't wait to be a part of it at the high school level. And you establish that consistency at a young age and you get a program that, you know, when you graduate a good group of seniors, they've kind of passed on, you know, to the younger guys and younger guys are ready to step in and fill those roles and are excited for the opportunity.
Taking a look at your schedule, always a good schedule. A couple of trips to Nixa this year.
Yeah, we've got several, you know, exciting, you know, interesting events that we'll be involved in this year. But, you know, one of them, as you mentioned, is a shootout at Nixa High School. That was actually going to be was supposed to be at a college in Springfield, and something fell through, so it ends up at Nixa. We'll play four games at Nixa High School this year because we're also in there. We got invited to their tournament, which is always a, you know, premier tournament in Southwest Missouri.
And you get to play East St. Louis at the Norm Stewart Classic in mid-December.
Yeah, that whole event is a great event. You know, it didn't happen last year due to COVID. You know, Brad Hayes, who's one of the main coordinators of the event, has made it bigger and better than it's ever been as far as some of the teams and the talent that he's bringing in. It's not only a regional event; it is a nationwide. They've got teams from all over the place. So it's gonna. We're fortunate enough to, you know, be invited to that event and then to play a team with the tradition that East St. Louis does. It's just gonna be really, really exciting for our guys.
Man, I know you love playing in the Great Eight, and you also will open up your gym on December the 13th. You'll meet Monroe City.
Yeah, it's kids are excited to tip off in the new gym. and play at home in front of our crowd and you know, against a very quality opponent in Monroe City that's been to two Final Fours in a row as well.
Tell me about your basketball team.
Well, you know, we've got several guys back from last year. Two All-State players, Luke Northweather, Quinn Cushion, another starter in Bryson Jeffries, and then a couple guys off the bench in Dylan Hare and Zach Harrigan. They were the first couple guys off the bench last year. So as far as experience goes, I think we've got a good nucleus of experience. And then we've got several guys, kind of like I mentioned earlier, we've got guys that were playing most of their minutes at the JV level last year that are ready to step in and you know, fill out those roles that you know, were opened up due to graduation. So, you know, guys like Braden Lehman, Thomas McCauley, Gavin Brandis, he is a senior that has missed last year due to knee injury. So he is back and ready to go. So we've got a very strong senior class, seven seniors, and I really believe all seven of them will be able to contribute.
Looking at the roster, Luke Northweather is listed at 6'10". Did he get taller over the summer?
He did. He grew a little bit. He grew about an inch and, you know, got a little more size. You guys have watched him play. He's a guy that he's not camped out under the basket. You know, the game has changed a little bit. You know, there are some people that believe that if you're 6'10", you shouldn't stray too far from the basket. But when a kid can stretch the floor and shoot the basketball like Luke can, you know, it'd be crazy not to utilize all of his skills.
You know, with Luke Northweather inside and the ability to step outside and Quinn Cushion as well, can shoot the three, can move and pull up jumper, you create a lot of matchup problems defensively for the teams you'll play.
Yeah, we really do. And those two have played together so much because they're on the same AAU team as well. And they work so well together out of the pick and roll. And the crazy thing is it can be Luke coming off of the ball screen, the Quinn sets, and they, you know, they read each other well. And then another guy that I didn't mention yet, Zach Henry, who is a junior, can shoot the ball really, really well. You put him on the floor at the same time, and it really, really puts a lot of pressure on the defense to make a decision on how they're going to guard that action.
Next week, you will be in Boonville for the Tri-County Conference Tournament, and I know you like that to start the season.
Yeah, it's a good test early, and to be able to see our conference schools, you know, it's a tough league year in and year out. And, you know, traveling to Boonville and, you know, they do things right up there and they'll put on a great tournament. So, you know, our guys are just ready to play. You know, we don't ever play before Thanksgiving because our football team is typically playing. So we wait. And our guys, we're at that point in practice where we're ready to go against somebody else under the lights, with a crowd. And, you know, the Jamboree kind of scratches that itch a little bit, but it's, you know, it's not the real deal, but we're ready to step out there for real.
Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday for you. You'll open up Tuesday. I think 4:00 is the scheduled tip off. You're the number one seed. You'll meet Eldon. Eldon, I think the other night scored over 90 points in a basketball game.
Yeah, they actually have two games under their belt. They beat Lynn and then they went to Fatima and lost to a very tough Fatima team. So, you know, we've got a little film on them. You know, they're young and very, very hungry, and they've got some kids that can really shoot the ball. So, you know, the fact that they've been on the floor a couple times and gone through the routine, you know, they'll have that under their belt. But, you know, I'm hoping with our senior experience and our leadership, I think we'll be ready to go.
You know, you won the Tri-County Conference last year. You went undefeated in conference play, and that's not easy to do, is it?
No, it's not. And in our conference, night in and night out is very competitive, and you know, going in, you know, you can't have an off night, and for guys to focus up night in and night out and be able to do that is pretty special. And you know, that's always a goal of ours, is to win the conference championship.
Coach, last year you averaged 67 points a game on offense, gave up just 50 points a game on defense. You like those numbers?
Yeah, you know, we pride ourselves on the defensive end, and that's one thing that you know, we sell our kids on year in and year out. And every team is different, every team is new, you know, with graduation and different pieces added to the puzzle. So, you know, that's part of what we're working on early, is to establish that, you know, defensive effort and intensity. And I like where our kids are right now, but you know, you don't really know until you step on the floor against somebody else. You know, I feel like offensively, we've got a lot of weapons, and we've kind of told our kids, if we can guard ourselves, I like our chances against other teams. So, you know, we've been working really hard in practice to, like I said, establish that identity. So we're looking forward to guarding somebody else for once.
Coach, thanks for the visit this morning. Good luck next week. We'll see you Saturday in Boonville.
All right. Thanks, Kevin.
Blair Oaks Falcons head basketball coach Ryan Fick. Again, they will open up Tri-County Conference tournament action in Boonville on Tuesday. It's a 4 o'clock scheduled tip-off. They are the number one seed as the Blair Oaks Falcons will meet Eldon again at 4 o'clock. And then the consolation semifinals and the semifinals of the tournament are scheduled for Thursday. Then the 7th place, consolation championship, 3rd place, and the tournament title game will all be on Saturday. The tournament title game scheduled for a 2:30 tip-off in Boonville next Saturday. In Class 5 football last night, it was Holt over Fort Osage by a score of 31-14. Holt is now 13-0 on the season. Fort Osage sees its season come to an end with a mark of 11-1. Today in Class 5, it'll be undefeated Jackson at Webb City to take on the Cardinals. The Cardinals are 9-3. Last night in Class 4, it was Smithville over MICDS out of St. Louis, 40-36. MICDS led that game 36-20. Smithville came back to win it 40-36. Today, Hannibal meets North County in Class 4. In Class 3, Mexico is at St. Louis, St. Mary's, and Cardinal Ritter is at St. Pius X out of Kansas City. In Class 2, Lafayette County is at Lutheran St. Charles. Richmond is at Lamar. We're back next week on the Coaches Show.
News Radio 950 KWOS and on FM at 104.5 KWOS Jefferson City, K283 CL Jefferson. It's 8 o'clock.